let's just take a moment here. God that doesn't fail, why should you? I'm in you. I don't fail. You shouldn't expect to fail. You shouldn't even come close. What he's telling you is just a quick revelation there. Something that we already know, but we need reminded of. I have a testimony. I've been forgetting to give it, but when I was down in Peru this last time, at the end of the conference, I called up my translator and her husband and began to prophesy over them. And the last part of the prophecy was that there'll soon be an increase in the family. And so she wrote us this week saying that Jesus praise God. So we have another translator for the next generation. Amen. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. Hallelujah. You know, I was really blessed by this morning's message because I'm big on obedience. Because I found that the more that I obey, and, you know, and I found this out all along in my walk with the Lord, the more I obey, the more He adds to it. And there's been times that I've had to step out of the box to obey. I mean, usually you do have to step out of the box. Usually you don't, it's not really that much obedience to obey while you're in the box. But when you have to step out of the box, that's a different deal. And I remember this time, I guess I'd been walking with the Lord about a year, and, you know, people around me were just encouraging me, and, yes, go get them, you know, and, yes, I had a lot of born-again, you know, new born-again zeal, but it was also that the Lord was using me in such a way that those around me had not seen that much like it, and they were somewhat blown away with it. So I've learned through things like that and other things to be obedient. We want to be obedient. We just got to be obedient. It doesn't just stop with, well, I'll be obedient to the word of salvation. No, it goes farther than the word of salvation. Salvation is just the start. Thank God for being born again. I thank God every day, numerous times during the day, I thank Him for being born again, that He saved me, that He filled me with the Holy Ghost. But there's more to it. It doesn't just stop there. See, He needs people in the high school. He needs people in the workplace. You know, in the church four walls, it's easy to minister for the most part, not always, but for the most part, to minister in the four walls is, you know, you don't have to have much courage to do that. But when you're out in the high schools, when you're out in the businesses, when you're out on the jobs, it's a little different deal. You have to make a decision. I'm going to be obedient to what He says. And I was having to make decisions all along the way because He would say things like, this person over here in this store has a heart problem. I want you to go tell them right now that I'm healing their heart. Well, I didn't know those people. You know, I had to trust Him and be obedient to Him in order to go tell them because I didn't know them from anyone else. I didn't know whether they had a heart problem or not. Just what God said, and God said they did. You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, some people say it's all right to miss things. I can't think of one that I missed. I'm sure I did. I'm not saying I didn't. I just can't think of one. There's not one that stands out that I missed. Usually each time that person would admit it. Yes, I've got this one. And I would pray for them right there in that store. But I had to be obedient. I had this desire, this overwhelming desire on the inside I've got to be obedient. And it wasn't as much for them as it was for just, I just knew I had to be obedient. And I can remember, you know, Shelly and I, we went through different things, you know, when we were traveling a lot. I mean, when we were every other weekend, we'd be setting up a meeting somewhere in some city. And we would preach to the masses, you know, two or three people. And, you know, and we just kept going, and we kept doing what we knew we were supposed to do. We wanted to be obedient, regardless of the results, regardless of the amount of money spent. We wanted to be obedient. See, that's why, you know, I wouldn't take an offering from you if you tried to shove it down my throat this evening. The reason is I got over that a long time ago. Back during those times that we would shell out $300 and $400 for a meeting and $30 would come in the offering, I got past that a long time ago. So I don't preach for offering. I got people that support the ministry. Thank God for them. But I don't worry about whether I'm going to get an offering wherever I go to preach. We just don't do that. We were taught differently, and we got past it a long time ago. But we would preach every other weekend. We made an effort to set up somewhere or be somewhere preaching every other weekend. But I got tired. I got tired of dealing with... I'm going to go ahead and say it, Pastor. I know he told you not to, but he hasn't told me not to yet. I got tired of dealing with flaky people. And I came to a point where I knew I was going to have to take some time to, you know, you can be praying while you're preaching and, you know, in between the services you can be praying, but sometimes you have to take time out and say, I've got to stop. I've got to get with God, make sure that I'm on the right track, make sure that I haven't missed something somewhere. And I came to a place where I just didn't like God's people anymore. I'm just being honest with you. You don't want me up here lying to you. Just being honest, I didn't like God's people anymore. And I told him so. I said, I don't care for them anymore. I said, you can have them. You take care of them. I don't need them. I don't need them, you know. I spent 20-some years in the real estate and oil and gas investment business. I had a place to go. It's not like I needed a place to go. You can have them. Shelling tell you, you know, I'm just being honest. And so I took some time out, and we decided not to go and set up any more meetings. And one thing I did not do, now listen, this is very important because this whole thing this evening is hinged on this. I did not stop praying in the Holy Ghost. Didn't matter how much I didn't care for people and God's people, I didn't stop praying. You can't get past a stronghold if you stop praying. Because He'll just bring you right back around. When you do start praying, you'll get to come back and face that stronghold again. You just as well go ahead and get His help and get past that stronghold. Overcome it. Just well overcome it because you're going to have to come back to it. So I kept praying. I knew to do that. I'd been trained enough by Dave Roberson to know to keep praying. I didn't stop praying. But I just didn't care for people any longer. And thank God I wasn't a pastor at that point. I'd have been in a tough position then, wouldn't I? So I just kept praying during that time, and we took some time off, and he began to deal with me and talk to me about some things and how much he cared for me. And the same amount he cared for me, he cared for them. And if I wanted to be like him, I was gonna have to like people and care about people. You know, all those good things that you really don't want to hear to begin with, you know, and you kind of close your ears, go na 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 na, you know. And, but it went on several months there. And, even during that time, we wouldn't do any meetings, but people would call and we'd have to deal with situations and way off cities that we had preached at because they looked to us to help them out of their problems. So I wasn't getting anywhere by not doing any meetings because they were following me around. But I spent several months praying in the Holy Ghost and fasting. I know you don't want to hear about that part tonight. That'll be later, just a few messages down the road. And so after a period of time, then after him dealing with me and bringing some of this to light, then I began to change how I looked at people. And I began to love them. You know, God's a people God. He's in the people business. If you're going to be in business with Him, you're going to have to love people. You're going to have to like people and love them and care about them. Care about the situations that they're in. And, you know, now I care about the situations people are in, all except Cindy. I don't really give her two thoughts. No, I'm just kidding. She knows better. Anyhow, so after a period of time, but I kept praying. That's what I want to get across to you. It doesn't matter what you're going through or what you have to go through. You keep praying. You can go around and around and around the mountain and see the same rock on that hillside as the last time. And not make any advancement, but as long as you keep praying, you're going to make it out. You're going to eventually climb the mountain. Now, if you stop, you're going to have to pick right back up and look at that same rock and that same tree over again. You've got to keep praying. You can't stop. We talked about the last time that I preached about, you know, praying in other tongues and offering yourself over to the Holy Spirit that you can make intercession on behalf of the church. Find the perfect will for the church, the perfect will for yourselves individually and for the church, its direction, and where it's headed. But tonight what I want to get across to you is that everybody meets strongholds. There's not a preacher in this world that hasn't met a stronghold at some point. Now, some of them, they just have to get over the fear water. But every preacher, even, every preacher, not just believers, but every preacher has to get past strongholds at some point in time. Now, here's the key. Here's the thing. You can get past a stronghold and you think you got it made. But if you're going to pray, you've got to expect this, that the Holy Spirit is going to shine the light in some closets in your life. You're going to walk into the room, open the closet door, flip on the light, and there's a big rat looking at you. Not only is there a big rat looking at you, but he rears up on his hind leg and wiggles his whiskers, not wanting to move. That's what you're faced with. When you're praying, he's still going to shine the light on your life and show you things in your life that you need to overcome and put behind you. But that's okay. If you keep praying, you're going to make it. If you stop praying, you're going to go backwards. And you want to go forward. But if you keep praying, He's going to shine that light on one closet in your life, and you're going to have to meet that rat and put it to death. He'll help you do that. You don't have to do it by yourself. You've got the Holy Spirit that's going to help you overcome this that you're confronted with. And you take care of that one and you go to another closet in the room and open the door and there's two rats. And you've got to put them to death, overcome them. But He'll always supply the power and the wisdom and the way for you to overcome. He'll always do it. No matter what the situation is, He is the answer. He doesn't fail, so neither should you. How about that? Work that right in there. He doesn't fail, so neither should you, and you won't. You won't, as long as you keep leaning on Him. Keep pulling on His power and drawing up on Him. You'll go over it. You'll go through it, you'll go over it, whatever it takes. You might go over it one time and have to go through it the next time. But you'll still get through. You'll still come out on the other side. That's what I'm trying to get at. You'll always come out on the other side if you keep believing, keep praying, keep pushing. Don't stop. Don't stop. Turn with me to... I'm going to take a little different direction here than what I planned on. Nothing new about that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I tell you, I'm so glad, you know, I'm glad for two things. And I'm not belittling anybody or anything. I'm glad that I didn't have a lot of religion to overcome whenever I got born again. I'm glad that I had the Holy Spirit from the very beginning. And He's had to walk with me through a lot of stuff, a lot of changes. I may not have had religion to change, but I've had other things I had to change. You know, like I told you, I'm like Brother David says here. He says he was a barbarian when he got born again. That was me. I was a barbarian. I didn't have any denomination or anything to overcome. But it doesn't matter what it is. You can overcome it. I do believe that the spirit of religion is a little harder to overcome than anything else I've seen. Some people say, well, yeah, but homosexuality is hard to overcome. No, a homosexual knows deep down in their heart that they're wrong. A religious person is convinced they're right. And that's the difference. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I used to preach on this verse 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12 so much that people would have it ready and open whenever I walked into the room. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And presenting your bodies a living sacrifice is presenting yourself to death, but yet you live. That's a living sacrifice. One who lives, but yet they present themselves to death. And a reasonable service just means that it's attainable. No, it's not too big for anybody. Present yourself unto God as a living sacrifice. You know, and I have to be careful because I've walked in one or two churches and I said, all right, you know, we're all going to die. And they take me wrong. I have to go ahead and explain it. Now, one time this fella, he was, I'm going to use that word again. He was being flaky. And he wouldn't pay his rent, and he wouldn't do this, and he wouldn't do that, and he's walking around calling himself a great Christian and stuff like this. And I said, look, I said, you need to lock yourself in the cellar and die. And that's what we need to do. If that's what it takes, is lock ourselves in the closet, put to death some things in our life. Die, but yet we live. we come out a better person. We come out a Christian, Christ-like. And so he says here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, now I like the good and acceptable will of God, but what I like even more is the perfect will of God. Unfortunately, not too many are walking in the perfect will of God at any one time, and certainly not all the time. But that's what we're to attain to. That's what we're to go for. Is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice and to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And you can't renew your mind without two things: the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. If you're going to be transformed, you got to have something to transform to. And that's where the Word of God comes in. It gives you the roadmap to be transformed. It gives you what the image that you're to be transformed to. So if you don't get in the Word of God, you're not going to attain the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You just can't do it, because it says here, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may obtain the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, if you're not going to be transformed, if you're not going to be renewed, then you can't obtain those things. And the only way to do that is with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as your teacher to take you to that place from point A to point B. I'm so glad that I was taught that you can on purpose walk into the anointing and the power of God on purpose from point A to point B, that He provided a way that I could do that. I thank God for praying another time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can on purpose change your life. You can on purpose walk into the power of God. You can on purpose increase that power in your own life, in your ministry, in your daily walk. You can on purpose, take it farther to a farther place. Just because you want to. You know, people say, well, God's sovereign. Yeah, He made a sovereign move 2,000 years ago at the cross. Everything that you and I needed was provided at the cross. Everything that you and I was going to be was provided at the cross. He looked across there and said, seen DJ and said, I'm going to make a preacher out of him when he comes along. It was already set into motion when you were a twinkle in the eye of your parents. Already set in motion. Everything was set into motion 2,000 years ago. Now we can on purpose move from where we're at into that place in Him. On purpose, because we want to. We can take this church to that place that God wants on purpose because we want to, and we want to apply ourselves in that area. Now, you can just sit back and say, well, I'm just going to wait on God. Well, what are you waiting on Him for? He done everything 2,000 years ago. It's already been done. By His stripes, we were healed. Quit sitting and waiting on your healing. Go for it. Go after it. See, that's why He provided the gifts. So you could receive your healing. It's already done. We just have to get in a place to receive it. See, most of you really don't know me. Most of you. Cindy and David, they know quite a bit. But I I haven't been this strong, robust, thin person that I am today. Hey folks, I'm working on it. I lost 40 pounds and I'm headed for 60. But at one time I was healthy. I'm healthy now. But I went through a period of time that I wasn't healthy. And I had to walk through it. I had to walk out of it. I had to receive my healing. You know, you go to Peru and you almost get down and, you know, and you're thinking, am I going to get back to Oklahoma alive? Or actually, that time it was Kansas. Am I going to get back to Kansas alive, or are they going to take me back in a pine box? You get back and they inform you that you got to go on insulin every day. You know, so I know what it's like to walk through a disease, to walk through an illness, and to walk out of it. You know, and when you have something so bad that you're in pain from the neuropathy for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they're having to put you on morphine to get you out of the pain just so you can pray. You know, like I said, you know, there's a lot you don't know. I'm just being honest with you. It doesn't bother me to tell you. Thank God that He provided a doctor that recognized what was going on and knew where I stood and provided what was needed that I could start making that walk out through worship and confession and praying in other tongues. I mean, I was at the point where I was in so much pain, Harry, I couldn't pray. You know, but thank God that He provides us doctors, but they're just to help us get out of where we're at and get into a place that we can receive from God. And in some cases, they guide the hands of the doctors that can get you out. God does. So either way, but His preference, of course, is that you walk in good health always. That's what His perfect will is. Sometimes it doesn't work that way because of our bodies or because of the way we've treated our bodies or because of what we've done or whatever, you know. But we can walk out of it if we don't give up. And if we apply this thing called the Word of God to our life, we can walk out of it and walk into the perfect will of God concerning our bodies, concerning our lives, concerning our families, concerning our church. We can walk out of one place into another intentionally on purpose and come out on the other side victorious. I want to be victorious. Man, hallelujah. I want to receive what's been given. Let me put it that way. That'd be better. I want to receive what's been given, that victory. Thank you, Jesus. So he says that therefore, he said, don't be conformed to this world. You know, don't be living in the world that you start smelling like the world and acting like the world. You can't have the world and have God too. You got to make a decision at some point. Well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then we take the Word of God and we begin to use it in meditating the Word of God and confession and worship and praying in other tongues, that we pray the revelation from God's mind into our lives, that we can be transformed and renewed, that we can see the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God and obtain it for our lives. He says not only you don't just see it, but you obtain it. It's not just there for something to talk about, but that you obtain it for your own life. By the way, there's a strong healing anointing here tonight. We're going to pray for healing before this is over. But I wanted to get the Word of God in here tonight. I want you to have something to grab a hold of. that you cannot stop. You know, there's been many times that Shelley and I have had the opportunity to stop. You know, we would be praying. That's why I got so tickled Wednesday night when Pastor asked me if, you know, if everything had went well, basically, when I pray. Things don't always go well. We do hit things. You know, and we do want to stop. And we do want to give it up. But we keep going. Yes, we do get mad at each other. I get mad at you. You just didn't know it. I'm just being honest. You're not being honest. You're not telling me, but I'm telling you. But that's okay. I get through it. God gets me over it. And then I turn out I'm loving you. I went from not liking you to loving you. All because I prayed in other tongues. Isn't that wonderful that praying in other tongues can make such a change in your life? Glory. Hallelujah. I started out, I think I've probably told you this, but I can't remember because I don't get invited to preach here but once a month. So I can't remember from one time to the next, you know, what I've said, you know. But I got the pulpit now. I get to do the gouging. I'm getting you some paybacks, DJ, from this morning.
Yeah.
Right on, brother. When I started out, I started out praying anywhere from 4 to 8 hours a day and ended up about 8 hours a day praying other tongues. And I had to work during the day. I was like everybody else, you know. I had to work. I had a real estate business and the oil and gas investment business. So what I would do is whenever Shelley and the boys went to bed at night, about 10:30, I would start praying. That was my prayer time. So I would pray until about 5:30 or 6. And then I would go to bed for about an hour, get up and get ready and go to work. And I would do that until I couldn't do it anymore. Then I would take a night off. And sleep. You know, I would catch back up on my sleep. You know, and some people say, well, I get up early in the morning, you know, like I know Gary Carpenter, I know for a fact that he gets up extremely early in the morning and prays, and that's all right. Whatever fits you, just long as you get it in, that's all that matters. As long as you're in there spending that time with God, because that's what you're doing when you pray in other tongues, you know, you're communing with God. That's what you're doing. And you're letting Him take a look at your life and you're listening to what He has to say. And so it doesn't matter when, you know. I mean, I find references to both, and whether it be at night or during the morning hours, in the Bible. I mean, Jesus, you know, I do it the way Jesus done it. I don't know how you done it, how you do it. But I pray the way Jesus prayed. That makes me better. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Anyhow, it doesn't matter when you do it, but you need to set aside some time to pray. And I would pray going to work. I would pray driving around, looking at property, inspecting renters' places and stuff. I would pray those times, but I also set aside some time. And nowadays, I'm spending around 4 hours, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less, but let's say an average about 4 hours. And I dedicate that amount to prayer. Now, is that studying? No, that's prayer. That's praying in other tongues. And then I pick up some time on studying, different amounts depending on what I'm doing. I also spend some time on worship, worshiping with the Word of God. I combine my worship with confession. That's what I call it. I don't know what you call it, but I walk around thinking, oh, I worship You and thank You, Father. I give You glory. Hallelujah. I thank You that Pastor Gary's house is sold. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I thank You that the church is growing. Hallelujah. I thank You that there's new members every day of the week. See, you got to set aside some time for these things. You say, well, I got a job. I know you do. But you can turn the TV off, turn off as my stomach turns, and go in a bedroom or something and begin to pray. or worship God. Switch it, alternate it if you want to. But the more you pray in other tongues, the more you're going to get out of God. He's going to do everything He can. You pray in other tongues, He's going to be like a German shepherd after a dope dealer to get to you and get something across to you. That's how bad He wants. That's how bad He wants to see you in there with people. Put yourself in the field. Glory. Hallelujah. Did you get that German shepherd after the drug? Did you get that written down? Just want to make sure you got that. That was an important point. But you got to know this, that it's not all glorious. You're going to hit these strongholds in your life. You're going to hit these places in your life that you're going to have to overcome. But He's right there with you to help you overcome. But it's not all a bed of roses. It's not all a rose garden. What else could we say? Not all an ice cream shop serves strawberry ice cream. You got to keep going. You can't stop. If you stop, you'll either go backwards, but if you start again, which you should, if you get knocked out of prayer by your emotions or by somebody that done something wrong to you, if you get knocked out of prayer, just get back in as soon as you can. Don't stop. Just get right back in as soon as you can get back in. You may have to see some of the same things you've seen before. Get started again, because the quicker you do, the better off you'll be. You got to keep going. Don't stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I would spend all these times, all these hours in prayer, and He just kept adding, He kept adding to me. And the more I would listen, and the more I would be obedient to Him. And I know I'm saying some things that me and the pastor may not agree with totally or anything, but let's talk about giving for just a second. This is not a message about giving. But I would during those times I would ask Him. I was attending a little church out in Stillwater called Victory Christian Center, Stillwater. And I would say, Lord, something wasn't sitting right with me with this tithing. Because, well, I'm not going to go into it tonight. I don't think this is the message. But something wasn't sitting right with me, so I would say, Lord, what do you want me to do concerning giving? And he said, as clear as anything I've heard, he said, you just listen to me and do what I say. Well, I got to know the pastor pretty good of that church. So after a while, about a year had went by, and I began to pump him a little bit. And fortunately, it was for my own satisfaction. I wasn't trying to be nosy, but for my own satisfaction, I wanted to know something. And so I said, now what I had been doing, I'd said, Lord, what do you want me to give today or in this service? And I would put in what He'd tell me. If I didn't hear nothing, I would purpose in my heart what I was going to give. I would make a decision. This is what I'm going to give. But if He told me something, once again, I made sure that I was obedient. I mean, you can't ask and not plan on being. I don't see how anybody can ask God, Almighty God, what do you want me to do, and then on purpose disobey Him. I don't get that. I know there's people that do, but I couldn't do that. And so I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to do in this offering? He would tell me, and if He didn't tell me, I would purpose in my heart to do something. And if there was other times that there wasn't an offering, I might be in my office praying. And He would say, I want you to give $1,000. I want you to go down and give $1,000 to the church. And this happened more than once. Shelley and I emptied our bank account one time. I don't know how much was in there, but the Lord spoke to us and told us what to do, and it emptied the bank account, but we wasn't worried about it because we knew He was always faithful to take care of us. But anyhow, where was I here? I would ask Him. I'd ask Him, I'd say, what do You want me to do? And I would do what He said to do. And that's the route I took. So I think about a year had gone by, and I'm getting the chance, you know, to talk to the pastor every now and then behind closed doors and visit with him. And, you know, and I said, I would like to know how my giving compares to others in the church. And this is not something you go broadcasting. You don't, you know, I don't go up to Linda and ask her, you know. You don't do that stuff. But I did ask Him. I wanted to know. I wanted to know whether I was right or wrong. I wanted to know. It was for my own information. I said, how is my giving compared to other people in the church? And He said, you're giving more than anyone else in the church. And I knew already what I was giving from my record. And I can tell you this, that my giving, by responding to His voice, was much more than 10%. Much more. See, He usually won't tell you to give the little amount unless He knows your situation. And He's not going to expect you to give more than what you can give. He's just not that way. But what I'm getting around to is you've got to be obedient. And if He says to pray 2 hours a day in other tongues, pray 2 hours at least. If you want to get in on His good side, pray more than 2 hours. No, just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. I told you way back there that I have a good time when I preach. I've made up for it tonight. But you've got to be obedient. If He has instructed you to do something, then you do what He's instructed you to do. Follow through with it. People will get up into a line with a prophet or a prophetess, and they'll hear a word, and God will give them a word and instructions with it. They'll go off, and they'll get in another line a month later with another prophet or prophetess, and they'll get in line again expecting to hear something different when they haven't even followed through with what they heard before. How can you expect Him to say something different if you haven't done what He already said? But I don't listen to them too much because, I'll just give you an example. I listen to them, but not in the way that you might think. I had a lady, a pastor lady, friend, up in Missouri. She said, I think that you need to start a church there in Telephone. I think that's what you're supposed to do. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You bring your money, and you hold my hand and pastor with me, and we'll sit. That's the way I look at it. If somebody prophesies to you and tells you to go to Africa, you say, let me have your hand. You can go with me and go to Africa with me. Well, see, if it's God, because I need you with me to tell me how to get back when we're done. That's just a little extra. You got to be obedient. You got to keep praying, no matter what happens. No matter how bleak it looks. No matter how bad it looks. No matter, Pastor, how empty the chairs get, you got to keep. They're all full. Doesn't matter what it looks like in the natural. You got to keep standing your feet. Hallelujah. I'm sorry we didn't get into the Word of God tonight. I'll try to make up for it next time.